wonderful opportunity to come into your house of prayer, house of worship, and just praise you, for you are a God who inhabits praise. Now just let your Holy Spirit teach us what you'd have us to learn, bind any away to keep us from focusing on you, and just use this to bring you glory. In your name, according to your will, amen. So a couple of disclaimers. First, Cheryl has not pre-approved any attempts at lighthearted humor or jokes, so... And second, I might, as the pastor likes to say, have some free ones, no extra charge, so we'll see. So our lesson today is love one another. How do we do this? How do we show our love one for another? I've got some, suggestions, but love isn't just a passive thing. It's like, it's so easy to say, I love you. But what does it really mean? And a little bit later, hopefully I'll get into the greatest example of love ever, Jesus himself. But yes, love is active. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Love is a noun. So what kind of love are we talking about? Well, the Greek had, I believe it was five different types of love. For instance, there's this type of love. A husband was coming out of anesthesia after undergoing a surgery in the hospital. His eyes fluttered open, and noticing his wife sitting beside him, he muttered, "You're beautiful." Flattered, the wife continued the vigil. Later, the husband woke up again and said, "You're cute. Hey, what happened to beautiful?" The drugs are wearing off. So, that isn't the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about a love that never fails, that never fades away. And that love, as Tony has pointed out, is agape. So, the classic verse for agape is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So let us look at the perfect example that Jesus left us to try and emulate. We go to Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is the triune God, the mystery that we can never understand in this finite mind, that, as Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant," there's serve again, "and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, why would Jesus be willing to do this for us? And why would his Father ask him to? Because God is love, and that love is agape. And there's another reason, too, which is, of course, related, because love covers everything. Everything is bound together with love because God is love himself. And everything, creation, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, everything is a result of that love. But the first time, I remember many years ago, but actually just fairly recently, reading this verse and going, wow. And that verse is in Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To think I can bring joy to the creator of the universe never ceases to blow my very finite mind." Yes, it's because of love, but actually that we can bring joy to God himself. And we're supposed to bring that kind of joy to our Christian brothers. And they are supposed to bring that kind of joy to us. Now, continuing with the perfect example of Jesus for love. For considering him, continuing with verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Talk about endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In addition to the unfathomable burden of taking on all the sins of all the people who ever lived or would ever live, consider the here and now for Jesus back then. I know that's confusing, but just, you know, let's just go back to that day. And my apologies if I'm stealing any of Pastor Cook's thunder for a future Easter message here. With the exception of just a few of his devoted followers, Jesus was surrounded by lost souls saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" When the governor Pilate tried to get Jesus released because even he, being a heathen, could tell Jesus had done no wrong, they cried out again, "Crucify him!" In fact, Pilate was so convinced of Jesus' innocence, he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him." And the people responded, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." One last plea for sanity from Pilate, and the people's response. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." So then Pilate released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, the Roman scourging was so brutal that many did not survive. Jesus, whipped possibly beyond recognition, bleeding, barely alive, condemned to be crucified. But even that wasn't enough. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Now all the while, Jesus could have, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Instead, out of love and obedience to his Father, Jesus showed his compassion despite being in great agony, and the physical, as horrible as it was, might have been the least of it. Remember, Jesus was bearing the wrath of God for man's sins. But yet, he was able to say, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Even while dying from crucifixion, which is one of the most horrible ways to die we can imagine, and I will spare you going into that, Jesus was full of love. To the dying thief on the cross, he said, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And this type of love is agape, selfless, unconditional. How do we as Christians demonstrate this type of love? Not to that extent, but we are filled with God's love, and that is agape. So It is possible in some small way, yes. Yes. So, what is the greatest demonstration of love anyone has ever shown you? In my case, it's Cheryl, after finding out how messed up I really am, she still married me. And she's still with me 30 years later. So that's a pretty great demonstration of love. And I'm very serious about that. So one way we can do this is in humble service to one another. Again, using Christ as an example. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. After Jesus did this act, usually performed by a household slave or servant, he instructed them, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." That's John 13, 14, and 15. So not long after his example of loving service, Jesus said the following, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, two important points. First, this was not a request or a plea. It was a commandment. Just like, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And Jesus is putting "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another," on the same level as this. First, we love God with everything we have. I mean, heart, mind, soul, strength. To me, the mind is, you believe with the mind, but that's not enough. You have to believe with your heart, because it is a relationship. And part of that relationship is service, and that is with all my strength. And if there's anything left out, that's with all my soul. Soul in the Hebrew was basically everything there was about a person. So it's literally saying, with every fiber of my being, with every cell in my body, I love you. I love God. And the second is like unto this, that we show that kind of love to our Christian brother and sister and to the entire world. That is a tall order. And speaking for myself, I feel that I especially have trouble with the all thy heart. It's not enough to just learn the scriptures, and I don't claim to have learned them, but I do think loving with my mind, I've got down better than loving with my heart. But we're supposed to meditate on the word, that we might not sin against thee. Now, how do we love one another? I mean, we've mentioned some of that, service, for instance. But what are other ways, practical ways, shall we say, that we can show our love one for another? Right. Prayer, very much so. I'm sorry? Yes? literally thinking higher of others than ourselves. Right. One very important aspect of kindness is to be useful. You know, like James says, what does it profit, you know, if somebody comes hungry or naked or, you know, in need, and we go, peace, brother, be warmed, be filled, and you don't do anything. As James says, it's worthless. So, again, let's look at Christ, our perfect example for love one another. We are to love one another as I have loved you, which is Christ speaking, of course. For Christ has given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So what other examples besides foot washing has Christ given us as an example of how he loves us and how we should love one another? As has been mentioned, he prayed for his apostles. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Again, Jesus is praying for those he loves, and he's saying, when you're strengthened, pray for your brethren, and strengthen your brethren. And Jesus didn't just pray for his closest followers. He prayed for every single one of us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's each and every one of us. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He knew he would be leaving physically, and he was not going to leave his followers without power, without comfort. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, of course, we can't send the Comforter to anyone, but we can comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And that reminds me of another attempted humor. As Pastor Cook likes to say, again, this one's totally free, no extra charge. Yeah. Worth every penny, so, okay. So anyway, the young couple was madly in love, and so he is just confessing his and professing his undying love to his fiancée. Fiancé. Yeah. So anyway, it's like, I love you so much, I'd swim across the ocean. I love you so much, I would climb the highest mountain. I love you so much, I would pluck your favorite star out of the sky and give it to you. But would you die for me? Well, my love is what you call undying love. I don't think that's what that means. And of course, Jesus loved us so much that he did die for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Now, for other examples, let's consider the great love chapter found in 1 Corinthians 13 for more ways we can love one another. But first, let us turn our attention to the gifts of the Spirit we dealt with last week. Of course, it is the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts as he sees fit, and all of the gifts are desirable. Nonetheless, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Without God's agape love, all of the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, giving, are utterly worthless to us. Now, as we learned in our first lesson, all the fruits of the Spirit, or actually all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, are found in perfect agape love. So, 1 Corinthians 13, continuing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And as had been mentioned in a previous lesson, in that passage are all nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So I'm going to try to emphasize the love does this rather than the is not at this point. Suffereth long, long-suffering, patient, slow to anger or wrath, long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That sounds like long-suffering. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And what does it forbearing one another in love mean? Well, the very next verse, which I guess it isn't the next verse, but anyway, Jesus' example, Colossians 3:13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And that is also talking about a long-suffering or forbearing as well. So, if we're not willing to forgive, like it had been mentioned before, how loving is that? You know, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't even the publicans and the sinners, the tax collectors, do the same? You know, they love those who'll, you know, scratch their back, or they have something to get from it. As was mentioned in a passage in Isaiah that just, anyway, it's scary to me. It's like, what profit is there in serving God or in praying to God or in bringing him tithes or offerings? I mean, what's in it for me? That is not agape love. In fact, we're supposed to be patient and long-suffering and forgiving even when someone needs correction. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. So what else is love? Love and is kind. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. That is meekness. This means we are to show brotherly love and consider each other of greater honor than ourselves. In other words, we are to be a servant and serve our fellow Christians, just as in Jesus' foot washing example. And as I mentioned earlier, a key the definition of kind is useful, like James was saying. So rather than saying, be at peace, be warm, be filled, we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Another aspect of agape love, but rejoiceth in the truth. Our fellow Christians should be sources of joy to us, as it was mentioned earlier. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:20, for ye are our glory and joy. So we should rejoice with them that rejoice. And consequently, and conversely, weep with them that weep. Because we are supposed to be of the same mind one toward another. And this reminds us of another attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. Remember, the root word for peace in the Greek means unity. We are all to individually function as one body, unified by the Holy Spirit, in love one to another. Beareth all things. This means to roof over or to cover over with. This is literally love is blind. This is not because love is naive or foolish, but because love chooses to overlook a transgression. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Once a transgression is dealt with, a loving person does not keep bringing the wrong up. If they forgave them, then they forgave them. Believeth all things. Believe is the same root word as faith. So first, we must have faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, one common name for Christians to be known is believer. But then we have to believe in one another. We have to think what's best for each other and always be willing to give the benefit of the doubt. We must never give up on one another. So, if one be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But what if any man obey not our word by this epistle? Well, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. But yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And as we'll learn next week, admonish does not mean find fault, criticize, tear apart. It means a very different thing. Hopeth all things. Expectation or confidence. We are to have hope in one another. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And finally, in the great love chapter passage, endureth all things, to stay under, to willingly submit yourself under someone else's authority for their benefit. Choosing to be a servant to someone else. Now, I believe every New Testament epistle writer called themselves a doulos, or slave, bondservant to Jesus Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Not ours specifically, but your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So in closing, of course, ultimately any persecution or hardships we endure are for the cause of Christ. But we are to have the mindset like Paul that all of these persecutions, hardships, sufferings that we endure are to result in the consolation and salvation of our fellow Christians. And that is just an inkling of the kind of love that we are supposed to have for one another. Comments? But that should never be an excuse to not even try. No, we should just keep looking at the example of Christ and try to imitate, emulate, pattern ourselves after. Yeah, and one last free and anyway, of no charge. Love continues. It never fails. The true agape love. So it is not like the couple that, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's like, honey, how come you never tell me that you love me anymore? I told you when I proposed to you, and if anything ever changes, I'll let you know. So I think we are supposed to show that love every way we can as a whole. That is a noble example indeed. But I don't want to get us in trouble with some other ministry like the music ministry, so shall we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you just demonstrate your love over and over and over, and just help us to realize it, to appreciate it, and to be more like you, Lord. Now just let your Holy Spirit lead, guide, direct, call into remembrance. Teach us what you would have us to know, to show that love to one another and to the world around us, Lord. Show us how to shine our light a little brighter for you, but never thinking that it's our strength, our wisdom, but only truly submitting ourselves to you to bring you praise and glory and honor. In your name and according to your will. Amen.